between 78 and 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome into a Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. The X Counts at Locker Room 109 at Barry Sanderson at Wimp Sanderson 1. You want to email us? You can do that, Wimp and Barry at yahoo.com. I want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If you want to build a five-star backyard, and Yellowwood is your only choice, go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. Good morning, Chase. How are you? Good? Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing okay. Before I get into a little bit of football, good win last night. Give Sipsy a thought. Your team's good. Your thoughts on that before we get into anything else?
Yeah, Sipsy is really hard to guard. Our guys shot the ball well. They play hard, play unselfish. So it was a good win. Sipsy had won their first couple games by over 30. And so I knew they would be tough for us. We had a pretty good lead late and then let it get away. But thankfully, we've made a few shots at the end to push it on out. So play again tonight, and then we got to go over to Hale County Thursday, who won by...
Where you play at home tonight?
No, we're over in New Hope, Mississippi tonight. So,
okay.
Anyway.
Okay. I got the payment schedule. I got it. Thank you for bringing it to me. I appreciate it.
Yep.
James Franklin reduced his buyout at Penn State, and he took the job at Virginia Tech. Good job for him, I think, because he's an ex-Vanderbilt coach. Knows the score, a little bit about how he is kind of in the Virginia Tech-Vanderbilt eras. So Lane Kiffin is going to be flown over Baton Rouge to with his family, take a look at whatever he is in Baton Rouge to see. So those two things right there, maybe stick out a little bit. They have four games. Probably the most significant game would be Missouri at Oklahoma. Maybe the second significantly would be what's going to happen to Vanderbilt playing Kentucky at home. So those two games are the four games. Probably Florida and Tennessee, not going to be much. And as far as who's going to get in and the Arkansas-Texas game, I doubt Barry Sears will be there. They did put up today a percentage of, not counting the last games, percentage right now of people that are going to get in the playoff. And Indiana, Ohio State, A&M, and Georgia were at 99%. Now, they could drop a game, but drop two games or something, but that, I doubt it. And Ole Miss was 89. Alabama was 84. And, of course, naturally, they need to beat Auburn in order to do so. So Oklahoma was all the way down to 49% in this game. So they picked that back up with a little bit. So Vanderbilt was way, way down the list at 10%. So I doubt they can get themselves back in it. So we'll see there. Alabama and basketball will play at 8 o'clock tomorrow night in Chicago against a very good Illinois team. I think they're 4-0 right now. So that's about it. We're still waiting to see who's three or four names mentioned at Auburn. Drinkowicz's name's been stuck in there from Missouri. Don't know if that's any kind of shot or not. So we welcome your calls. That's not a whole lot to talk to you about, but that's sort of what's happening with the four games that we have and percentages, chances that teams are going to get in. I kind of put that on ESPN this morning. So if you have questions, just feel free to call us. We'll try to figure out the right answer for you.
Yeah, Ole Miss is off this week. They finish up the Egg Bowl the day after Thanksgiving. As I think about, you know, I was leaning towards, I didn't think Lane Kiffin would leave. The timing of all of this stuff, with the playoffs starting, them being in the playoff, but these jobs, with the when the portal opens, with when the team players try to jump out of your place, I guess there's really no other way to do it. He wants his family to be happy, so he's wanting them to check it out. I don't know if it's Jimmy Sexton trying to get his deal sweetened for NIL and all those things at the school, getting everything in place. It's a, I don't want to say a bad look. I don't know what else he can do if they don't, if they've generally never toured Baton Rouge or Gainesville. The question will be, if he decides that he is going to leave, does Ole Miss just cut ties with him right after the Egg Bowl and let, I guess, Pete Golding or one of the other guys take the team through the playoffs? I don't – what do you do? They say Ole Miss has deadlined him, and they got to know something, I guess, after the Egg Bowl. So that's putting the pressure on him to have to do – I don't – have you ever seen anything like this at this
time? No, I haven't. I think if he goes, he'll go to LSU. And I don't know that he'll go at all. I still don't know that he'll go at all. He's in the process now of talking to his daughters, talking to his wife, and trying to make a decision there.
It's his ex-wife. What's funny?
They're not back together.
No, well, I don't know if they're back together, but supposedly they're raising the kids. The kids are all, well, Knox is still in high school, so.
Yeah, well, the daughter did not want to go to Auburn when he was considered on that one when they took coach. So it'll be interesting.
So it's easy to pile on him and say you're being, but I guess there's no other. They're off this week and family wants to fly over there. And if it's not true, you think he'd come out and, but he just doesn't say anything. And so he, I don't know. It's a circus, to be quite honest with you. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, AC? AC is gone. All right, let's see what time. All right, let's go to Philip. What's up, Philip?
Hey, gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
All right. Okay. Trying to figure this Lane Kiffin thing out.
Oh, man. You know, a friend of mine told me about that late last night. I got off my – I worked another job at night a couple nights a week, and I just couldn't believe it. And then what do? You immediately start Googling stuff, you know, when you hear things like that. And the article I read was so detailed and had such precise information in it, I certainly would give credence to that article being true. It sounded like it really happened. I mean, they gave departure times for the plane and just all kinds of information. And so I kind of think, you know, to your question, Barry, that it must have been true that they went and checked out Baton Rouge and went to Gainesville. That's what I read and what I understood.
Yeah, it's the rumors are they went to Gainesville. Well, I don't think Lane, but went to Gainesville on Sunday, right, and Baton Rouge yesterday. So
That's correct. That's what I read, too, and that's what I understood. But I just was calling today, and I apologize. You know, I'll say things about, I don't want to be a bad caller. I want to be a good caller to your show.
You are?
And sometimes I'll say things that, you know, I don't mean it to be incorrect, but I want to thank Wyatt Fulton. I had some X conversations with him last night on X. And Wyatt did a good job of explaining where things stand now as far as the SEC championship game, and I appreciate him for that. Because as Joe Fan, I don't get into the weeds on digging around for this
tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker, yeah. And but you know, Watt does. That's sort of his job. But as things stand now, if everything ended today, you know, and Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Ole Miss, you know, went out and everything, that right now Alabama would be in the SEC championship game in Atlanta, as I understand it. But what blew my mind, you know, everybody jokes about the wide number of tiebreaker considerations. And I understand this is SEC. I get that. I totally get that. But I was really surprised that apparently non-conference results don't really weigh into that in terms of a tiebreaker. It would seem to me that that would be a good tiebreaker. Am I wrong in thinking that?
You know, I don't think non-conference games would be involved in that.
Yeah, you just got to take, because you have some teams that played each other, some that didn't, but I hadn't looked at the tiebreaker, but no, I don't think you can include that non-conference games. There's not going to be a lot of common opponents in the non-conference, so.
But I guess that's true. Absolutely understood. I guess the only thing I'm getting at is a scenario where let's say Alabama, and we kind of did this. Let's say we lost to Florida State, and then we played, you know, Northern Illinois a few months later, and we lose to them. So we finished the regular season 10-2, and our two losses are to non-conference teams. But then you've got two other teams that are in contention that maybe only had one league loss that wouldn't get in.
Well, I mean, if you have no SEC losses, then you got some pretty quality wins. You're going to be in.
I know. I'm just, you do. But you've got two losses while those other SEC teams only might have just one loss, period. it's just a lot. It's just, there's a lot of mixed messages. Yeah, out there.
When you're not in a league where everybody plays everybody, then you got unbalanced schedules, but the only way to do it, you have tiebreakers like that. A lot of times you may be having a tiebreaker where the teams didn't even play each other, so then they have to find the common opponents as they go down. But it sounds like if Alabama beats Auburn, are they in Atlanta? I hadn't looked at it.
According to what Watt said last night, they are in, and I believe in, you know, I appreciate him setting me straight. You know,
Georgia's SEC's over. So, and you got the head that when you beat them, you got the head to head there. So, yeah. And you didn't play A&M. Mm-hmm. So that's big.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think Georgia's got the best team in the nation right now.
They could. They're peaking at the right time. Man, they're getting better.
They are.
I think game for game, their preparation makes them better the game at night that they play. I think they're so well prepared that it makes them better the night that they play.
You know, Alabama faltered this time last year, and they're not peaking. All right, Phillip. So.
Hey, Barry, isn't it interesting that, in my opinion, last year, Alabama started faltering when Josh Quavis got hurt. And I think it was against LSU when he got hurt, and he pretty much missed the rest of the year. But it's kind of interesting to see how we're maybe not getting the ball to him enough now, and we're kind of dipping.
I thought he played well.
He did. He's good. He's a really good player, and he was wide open a bunch Saturday. A bunch.
No doubt. Playing well. Thank you, Phillip.
Thanks, guys, for being so kind
and
taking my calls. I appreciate
it. All right. I got a guy text me saying that A&M hadn't beaten anyone. Why don't you go back and look? They did win at Notre Dame. So that's not any. You go win at Notre Dame? If you say they haven't beaten anyone and they won at Notre Dame, then you're just like AC telling me, who's on hold, that only Alabama's win was Vanderbilt. But they went to Georgia and won. So that's not a good win. Come on, you got to look at the whole schedule there. There are some wins there that are pretty impressive. Two-minute truck, we're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. 205-247-5050. Two-minute truck, movers, who care?
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. There's good news for people who live in East Tuscaloosa. A $27 million road project to upgrade University Boulevard East has received the green light from the city of Tuscaloosa. That project has been delayed several times, most notably due to the pandemic. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A very good Tuesday morning to you. Looks like we're still working this collision on the Northport freeways, Highway 69 northbound after Mid-Flary Road. Do watch out for that crash. Now, it's got traffic pretty jumbled up at that intersection, especially that southbound side. And then as we come on down...
No, there's only one place to go. The Tuscaloosa Thread. Get the app and sign up for the two daily newsletters. Only from the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, CO at gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 76. For tonight, fair with a low at 59. For tomorrow and Thursday, the weather unseasonably warm, partially sunny both days, highs between 78 and 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Mike Norholtz, he's a great listener. He sent me the tiebreakers.
Great player.
Well, he also solves a lot of problems for us on the show. So here's the tiebreaker. First head-to-head record among the Tide teams. So if Georgia and Alabama tied, obviously we know there. Record against common conference opponents. Number three, record against the highest-ranked common opponents. And the fourth tiebreaker, combined conference winning percentage of all the conference opponents for each team. Now, I ain't trying to figure all that out, but according to people that know, if Alabama wins, they're in. That's a night game now in Auburn. Does that mean anything? That 6:30 kick?
No.
This means it's at night.
That's right.
All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, AC?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate you. Let me ask you a question. So you're going to be the head coach right now for all. Well, you're going to be Lane Kiffin right now.
Yeah.
Why would I take a job right now, which you built at Ole Miss? Potentially, you have a shot of going to the playoffs. Potentially, you have a better bowl game, not like some worse bowl game they're going to put you in. Let's assume you miss the playoffs. So why would you get, like, you have everything in your hand. So why would you go for an interview? In my opinion, everything stays on hold until my season is over. That's the way how I would approach it. So that looks professional. I mean, I understand money requires, but here's another thing as well. Why would Florida and LSU want to, again, that's a rumor, why they want to hire Lane Kiffin? What did Lane Kiffin do so far? Did he win the SEC championship as the head coach? I don't think so. Did he even get to the playoffs? He never did. He never won the big national championship as a head coach. So why are you trying to hire a coach who never took you? Because at the end of the day, the expectation for Florida and LSU is winning the national championship. And Lane Kiffin hasn't done any of that. I mean, that's your only go-to person. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's so many names out there. But thank you so much for taking my call.
Whoa. Give me another name. Who's a hot name? Give me another hot name.
I have one for you, but he's not going
to
fit.
I mean, do you want him to hire Jimbo Fisher? He's won the championship.
Of course. I mean, Ed Orgeron, in my opinion, Ed Orgeron deserves a chance, but he should go to Florida, not LSU, because he just got fired
at LSU, yeah.
Yeah, so what's the point of going there when they don't want you? I mean, he said a few weeks ago, if LSU wants me, I would go there. In my opinion, I'm sorry. You fired me, that means you don't want me. Why should I come to you? Like, forget this. I'm going to go to another team. Who's that guy got fired? Scott Woodward, right? Yeah, that's the guy who got fired at LSU. And I'm going to hang up by saying, I don't want to take too much of your time. If I'm Scott Woodward, I'll get a job somewhere, of course, a Power 5 school, and then I'm calling Ed Orgeron. I'll say, come on over. We're going to work together to show LSU who we are. This is our way of showing we have what it takes to get the job done by LSU, who chose not to have us because only they think that we're not capable. I mean, that's my opinion. Thank you so much for taking my time.
All right. Why would Lane Kiffin look at it? I mean, he probably thinks he's got a better chance of winning national championships at LSU in Florida. He's wanting to get all this money in place, or he's trying to get a raise. Why would you do it during the playoffs? Because of the timing of all the things that we thought. I don't know any other reason, Dad, other than those jobs only open so many times in your lifetime. If that's a job you think that you want, then it's not going to probably open again in time for you to get it. So I don't know. It's the calendar is the problem, not what the coaches want to do.
That's exactly right. Calendar
now, I keep seeing rumors, and Chase, please tell me these are rumors, that Arkansas is going to hire Ed Orgeron. Is that true?
Surely not.
It's all out there.
Surely not.
Ed Orgeron is a knucklehead, isn't he?
He's a double knucklehead.
He's a double. I keep seeing it out there that's who they're trying to hire. Or, I mean, not trying. You can get him in 5 minutes. Ed Orgeron? Chase, come on. Thomas Ripshack, you looking for great lunch? Right there, you swing out to 2931 15th Street. Go get your barbecue ribs. You like the fish, they got the fish, the pork chop, the chicken, all the sides that you want right there. It's soul food, comfort food, great people. They do a great job. If you want to have a catered meal over the weekend, you got people coming in, you can get catered meal anytime. You can go to the website, thomasribshack.com, or give them a call, 205-759-5010. Kevin Skarbinski is next. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A very good Tuesday morning to you. Looks like we're still working this collision on the Northport freeways, Highway 69 northbound after Mid-Flary Road. Do watch out for that crash. Now, it's got traffic pretty jumbled up at that intersection, especially that southbound side. And then as we come on down here to
assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP, call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. They bring you the 7 o'clock hour. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want to hurry to the Yellowwood hotline. He writes with AL.com. He's got his own podcast. He'll tell you about all that at the end of the segment. Joins us every Tuesday. We always like having conversations with Kevin. Kevin Skarbinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. I'm good, fellas. Good morning.
I don't even know what to make. I don't blame Lane Kiffin, really, because of the calendar and the way college football is, and it's an off week, and I don't even know what's true and what's not true. Make some sense out of this whole situation for me, Kevin. What you know?
I would if I could. It's just it is another aspect of the system that's broken. You know, the game is not broken on the field. I say that all the time, that the players always save the game itself. But the system in many ways is broken. And the biggest, maybe the biggest problem with the system is the calendar.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a coach and you have opportunities elsewhere, you should have the ability to weigh those opportunities. And you should be able to do it where it doesn't interfere with the team that you're coaching right now. But unfortunately, because of the calendar, that's not possible. You can't really wait until after the season is over. And especially this, and they're going to be in the playoff, which makes this much worse. Because you feel for those players and that program and that fan base, they're doing things that they haven't done ever or in a long, long, long time, and they're not able to fully enjoy it. And so you can blame Lane Kiffin if you like. He didn't put himself in this position. The other schools pursuing him put him in this position. Now you can say he could put a stop, and he can. He can say, look, I'm staying at Ole Miss. I have a great job here. I'm not going anywhere. I don't know if people would believe him if he said it. The other coaches, i.e. Nick Saban, have said it and not meant it, because they had to try to focus on their season while they were being pursued for another job. So I don't know that there's a good answer here. The only good answer from Ole Miss's perspective is that if Lane Kiffin would say, I'm not going anywhere. He hasn't said that for a reason. And on the one hand, you have to respect him that he hasn't lied. He has not given a definitive answer, which, of course, in that case, all kinds of speculation rushes in.
You know, we've seen these things that when it first starts, they're begging for you not to go. They'll do whatever it takes. And then there comes a point when you start doing things like this, then they turn against you at some point. They say, if you're going, get out, go. Where are we on all that right now with Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss? People get tired of people looking at other jobs. It's like you're looking at other women. You break up with me, you start dating around, you come back, then they get tired of it. Where are we in that scenario?
Well, it appears Ole Miss is very, very close to that point of telling Lane Kiffin either you're our coach or you're not. And, you know, they don't play this week. Their last game is the last regular season game is the Egg Bowl next Friday. And it does appear that Ole Miss, some people have reported they've given him an ultimatum that he has to decide by next Friday if he's going to be their coach going forward. You know what it reminds me of in some ways? It's not an exact parallel. Remember back in 1989, Bill Frieder, the basketball coach at Michigan, apparently, and I don't remember all the specific details, but from what I recall, he had kind of made a deal to, after the season, take the Arizona State job, and Michigan found out about it, and Bo Schembechler, the football coach, was the AD, and he basically told them, hit the road now before the NCAA tournament. He said he wanted a Michigan man to coach Michigan, and that worked out pretty well for the Wolverines because Steve Fisher took over as the interim coach, and they went on and won the national championship.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that because Glenn Rice was sitting one row below me at the Coliseum for the Purdue game. He's a scout now, an NBA scout. He was a star on that Michigan team.
Yeah.
So I think that's the point that a lot of Ole Miss people are getting to or are already at. They want an Ole Miss person to coach Ole Miss, and they really are questioning if Lane Kiffin intends to be an Ole Miss person.
Yeah. That.
Well, I don't really have any more thoughts on that than what you've given. Any other things at Auburn that you might could give our listeners? We've got about last I've looked with what I can find out, we've got about four. Drinkwitz has got his hand in there as well with three others. Any thoughts on that for our listeners?
No real movement there that I can. It does appear that John Summerall is very prominent in their sights, and Drinkwitz is on the DJ Durkin has not been totally eliminated. Although I'm very outspoken with you guys and elsewhere that I think that would be a mistake, even if they beat Alabama. I don't think he's the best coach you can hire to get you where you want to go and get you out of this rut that you've been in now for 5 years. But there will be a lot of emotion and you know, in that direction, if they win the Iron Bowl, and you cannot make this kind of decision based on emotion. It's the worst thing you can do. So I still think Summerall is the most likely hire, and I think he would be a good one for Auburn.
Where is this Alabama program? Georgia, to me, is improving. They get better every week. They look like maybe the best team in the country. Alabama is not, Kevin. They are not improving. Defensively, I think they played well. But offensively, which was a strength early on, now it's not there. They're turning the ball over. They did it in the last game there. They didn't play great at South Carolina. They didn't play very good against LSU. They are not peaking right now. And obviously, if they beat Auburn, they're in the playoff. But where is this program right now?
Well, you, that's a good assessment. I looked at, and I talked about this on my podcast, the latest episode yesterday. If you look at Alabama in SEC games this year, Nick Saban's mantra used to be start fast, finish strong. And that's not unique to Saban. He didn't come up with that himself. He wasn't the first coach to say that. That's what every coach would like to do. Start fast, finish strong. Well, Alabama does neither offensively. Their best quarter of the four quarters in a football game, they have scored by far the most points in SEC games in the second quarter. That, and they did it again against Oklahoma. Scored 14, should have had 17, shouldn't have missed that field goal. But they did not score in the first quarter against Oklahoma, and they did not score in the fourth quarter. And that's a pattern that they, and they're in the third quarter of games, and can talk about halftime adjustments, and that's overrated because you don't have a lot of time to make a lot of adjustments at halftime. But in the third quarter of SEC games, Alabama's been outscored. The opponents have scored more points than they have coming out of the locker room. So I don't know exactly what that means, but the offense, to me, it appears, because of the lack of a successful running game, has put so much pressure on Ty Simpson and the passing game that he is buckling a bit under the pressure. Go back to the Oklahoma game that he had Jeremy Bernard wide open, 20 yards, 15, 20 yards downfield, and airmailed him by a good 5 yards under no duress. He was moving in the pocket a little bit, but those are the kind of throws that he made routinely earlier in the season. So I think, without a running game, they put so much pressure on the passing game that the passing game has buckled somewhat, and Ty has struggled somewhat. It's not all him. It's the offensive line actually didn't do a terrible job on the pick six, as it was pointed out on the broadcast. They did not block that well, and that helped lead to the pick six against Oklahoma. So, at this point in the season, you are who you are. Yeah, you're not going to suddenly discover a 150-yard running back. And that's one of my biggest questions about this team. How did Alabama, with its history and tradition at that position in particular, historically and recently, end up with a running back room that doesn't have a star in it? Alabama always has a star at running back. They don't have a star. And I mean a guy who can take the ball 50, 60, 70 yards. Daniel Hill has done some nice things. He ain't taking it 50, 60, or 70 yards. He's a good power back. He can get you some hard yards. Miller's not a breakaway threat either. So they are who they are. They have to continue to work around the deficiencies in the running game and try to give Ty easier throws to make and not put as much duress on him, maybe early in the game in particular. But that's who they're going to be. And that means Ty Simpson has to be close to elite for them to beat the better teams. And he wasn't he wasn't bad on Saturday, but he wasn't elite.
In the NIL world, Oklahoma's kicker, when he kicked it, you thought he was going to make it. When Alabama's kicker kicked it, you wanted to go to the bathroom. What is a kicker worth? I mean, when you don't have one, man, these kickers that are really, really good in Alabama, I mean, whew, that was a bad look. I know emotions get in. He's screaming at the snapper. The hold was fine. But, man, what's a kicker worth in the NIL days when you don't have one?
I'll tell you what. You know, there weren't a lot of questions, strategic questions, personnel questions that you could throw at Nick Saban during his tenure at Alabama. But that was one. Why they didn't always have an elite kicker. They did a couple of times, Lee Tiffin, Will Reichard. But other than that, they had some – this was a situation that Alabama's found itself in far too often over the last couple of decades. And that's the worst thing you want to have when you're going to a place like Auburn to play your biggest rival at night in games that are always – in a game that you have lost before because you couldn't make a dang field goal, thinking back to 2013 in particular, but this also applied in 2019 as well. Some of Alabama's recent losses there were because they couldn't make a dang field goal. So, I don't understand it. I don't know how you get in this position as a major program where you don't spend some money to go get a kicker. Now, I will say, DeBoer, he tried to bring in Didn't he bring in some transfer that was supposed to be a hot shot from another school and it didn't work out?
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the story there either. But so he attempted. He understood. You have to have in games that are this tight. And that's another thing about this Alabama team. They don't blow people out. They're going to play close games against good teams, and every point counts. And you better be able to make a field goal from some distance, and they're just not in that position, which really has to make you question, if they do beat Auburn and they get in the playoff, how deep can they go? Because you're going to play a quality team every round. And you may play – and on this is going to be fascinating to watch tonight with the college football playoff selection. Where ranked now? Because they're going to be right around that 9-10 cut line – where you might not make the field or you might make it and you're going to have to go on the road in the first round. So they're in a bit of a dangerous spot right now. That's why they put themselves in this position by losing Oklahoma. Now they got to go do the one thing that you don't want to have to rely on, and that's go beat Auburn at Auburn.
Auburn's going to play loose, And when you have a kicker that you're not confident in, that makes you even tighter, doesn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, well, you talk about putting pressure on the offense and on the quarterback.
Yeah.
They know that.
Yeah.
That they know that they can't be confident outside of maybe a chip shot that they're going to get points out of the drive. So that, to me, heard Ryan Grubb say it, you know, and Kalen DeBoer said it after the Oklahoma game. Ty has to realize sometimes you just have to, you know, throw the ball away. Don't hold it and hold it and hold it and hope somebody comes open and try to make a play, try to be a hero. It's okay to end the drive with a kick. And he's talking about a punt, I think, in a lot of cases. But if you're Ty, yeah, you know that intellectually. But in your gut, you also know, look, if we're going to win the game, we're going to have to score touchdowns because we can't rely on field goals. So you're going to maybe hold the ball a little longer, hoping a receiver comes up and you can thread a needle. And that leads to things like the strip sack, which is an unbelievable stat. I don't think I've ever seen a team have a streak of, what is it, five games now of the quarterback losing the ball on a strip sack. That's incredible.
Yeah, that.
No, I don't really have anything. Y'all pretty much closed it for me.
Where does it, today? I guess Alabama come out around 10, you think, Kevin? And they could play themselves into a home game, which would be kind of neat. There's no scenario. If they beat Auburn, they're in. Doesn't matter what happens in Atlanta, right? They lose.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's over if they beat Auburn.
Yeah, and let's just put one asterisk on it. They beat Auburn. They go to the SEC championship game and say it's A&M or Georgia, and they lose by 3 or 4 touchdowns, and they just get run out of the building. That is a possibility then that they could drop out at 10-3. But I don't think that's likely. So, and that's a remote possibility. So, I, for all intents and purposes, you beat Auburn, you are in the college football playoff. And I got to say, isn't it amazing? At least the reaction that I'm seeing and hearing to things that I've written and my podcast, Alabama fans are scared to death of this game. Auburn has had a terrible season. Auburn has had 5 terrible in a row. Auburn has lost 5 straight to Alabama, including 2 in Jordan-Hare Stadium. But so many Alabama fans appear frightened of their own shadow once they get to the Plains. And when they announced yesterday that it was going to be a night game kicking off at 6:30, oh boy, some of the reaction was just hilarious. I mean, it's just funny. And all fans who have not been happy at all about their football program for 5 years, they're all of a sudden they're confident, like they've got Bo Jackson and Pat Sullivan and Terry Beasley on that team. It's amazing the flip in attitudes of the fan bases based on what happened Saturday.
All right, Kevin, A&M's in, Georgia's in, Ole Miss is in. If Alabama beats Auburn, they are in. If Oklahoma wins out, they are in. If Vanderbilt wins out, they got Kentucky and Tennessee. They will be 10-2. Are they in?
Ooh, not necessarily, because who have they beaten? That's one of the advantages that Alabama has. They have quality wins. They've got 4 ranked wins, which is tied with Oklahoma for the most in the country. Vanderbilt doesn't have those signature wins. They didn't beat Alabama. They didn't beat Texas. And Texas has fallen off, obviously, a little bit with, you know, getting run by Georgia the way they did. So that is what is going to could hurt Vanderbilt and could keep them out of the field, even at 10-2, which seems incredible that an SEC team could be 10-2 and not make the field, is when you start scrutinizing the record. Now, you could say, well, you could scrutinize Texas A&M's record. Who have they beaten? Well, they have beaten Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And that's going to go a long way in the committee's mind. They have, I will say, it is amazing that when you looked at A&M's schedule before Saturday, they were before they even lined up against South Carolina and weird way that game unfolded, they have played their first 7 games in the conference. They've played 7 of the bottom 8 teams in the league standings.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's amazing. Now they get Texas, of course. But I don't know. I feel for Vanderbilt because I think they're dangerous. I think they could win games in a playoff, depending on matchups. But and this all depends on their conferences, too. You know, what's going to happen the rest of the West in the Big Ten? You got teams like USC lurking. You got a team like Michigan lurking. That could be 10-2 also. So, if there's an SEC odd man out in that scenario, I'm afraid it would be Vanderbilt.
Yeah. That Notre Dame win, that was on the last play. A&M, they're undefeated, so they're not in this scenario.
Yeah.
But,
and they look like, and let's be honest, their schedule, they have been very fortunate, as Texas was last year, SEC schedule that was given to them. You know, no one could have known that it was going to play out this way, but it did play out this way. And they've been fortunate that they've gotten to play the bottom feeders in the SEC, yeah. Almost all of them.
Yeah.
So, but they've handled their business for the most part. I mean, obviously the South Carolina game was an outlier, the way they fell behind and then stormed from behind in the second half. That was really impressive. The final score doesn't look impressive that you beat a team with one SEC win by that close a margin, but the way it happened said a lot about A&M and probably will do them well going into the playoff, having had to do that. That gives you a confidence that you can come from behind. So, there's no question.
Auburn's not going to play their starting quarterback in a game that they need to win, like they'd like to win.
Well, that's an interesting – I'm glad you mentioned that, Wimp. That's an interesting scenario. They announced that yesterday. Ashton Daniels, he's played in 3 games. You can play 4 games and redshirt. And apparently he wants to play another year of college football. I lost track of how many he's already played, going back to his Stanford days. But he can play 1 more game and maintain his redshirt. So he's not going to play against Mercer on Saturday. They're going to use both Jackson Arnold, freshman Deuce Knight, who can maintain his redshirt, and they're going to save Ashton Daniels for Alabama. They're going to let his last game of the year, even if they win the next 2 and make a bowl at 6-6, they're not going to play him there. They're going to let him redshirt so he can come back next year. That presents an interesting proposition for the new coach at Auburn. If he comes back, is he the best quarterback Auburn could have next year? We'll see. He looked really good at Vanderbilt. Or maybe he wants to go play. Who knows? Who knows in today's college football world? But that was an interesting decision. They're obviously saving him. You know, you would think he would need more reps, right? To be at his best against Alabama. Yes, it's Mercer. And by the way, Mercer's a very good Southern Conference team. And Auburn could lose this game if they don't play well. Mercer is really good. They won back-to-back SoCon championships. But imagine the reaction then. DJ Durkin might not be the interim coach against Alabama. I'm joking, but...
There's really only one decision. But that's the only decision to make there. You don't burn a whole year for Mercer. I mean, if you lose to Mercer, then...
No.
And so that... I mean, even DJ Durkin did the right thing. I think if DJ Durkin said he was going to play him, John Cohen would probably say, no, you're not.
Part of this, too, Barry, is they said, you know, what does the kid want to do? What does the player and his family want? Do they want to play another year of college football? He could have said, look, this is my 5th or 6th year, whatever it is. This is it for me. Then there's no decision. Then he plays against Mercer and he plays against Alabama. And if they win both games, he plays in a bowl game. But clearly, he wants to play another year of college football. So you're right. That's the only decision you can make in that situation. And you ought to be good enough with the other 2 guys at quarterback, even against a good FCS team, to beat an FCS team.
I think it's a bad rule because you fired coach. Now the guy comes in, I don't want to play. I think I'm okay with the 4 games, but it's 4 games counting all your games. Playoff, SEC championship, you know, I just don't – it's a bad rule. It's not what the rule is intended to be like this, but there's a lot of bad rules in college football, Kevin.
Yes. To me, it makes more sense. Give guys 5 years to play 5 years.
That's right.
Regardless. If you get hurt in the first play of the first game, I'm sorry, that's a year.
Yeah.
You have an extra year. There's got to be a more common sense structure around this sport in so many areas, and this is one of them.
Yeah. Dad, what were you saying?
I said, I'll just get John on tomorrow. We'll figure it out.
John, yeah. Well, I mean, if Lane Kiffin, maybe, I mean, if he's doing all this and they're about to be in the playoff, if the guy at Tulane is your guy, well, let's go get him hired and let's move on. I mean, if we're doing this to Ole Miss, so they don't know for sure if.
I'll throw this in if you want me to. I don't know that the guy at Tulane is your guy.
Is he a fallback guy? Who is your guy?
Well, who's your guy, Wimp?
I don't know who.
Who's their guy?
I wouldn't be surprised if Drinkowitz get in there. Nobody told me that. I just guessed it.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
I think that's a possibility. Yeah.
Now, Dad about fell out of his seat about 20 minutes ago, and I don't know if it's true, but I keep reading, and maybe it's Twitter, so you never know what's true, maybe AI, that Ed Orgeron is a legitimate candidate at Arkansas?
Ed Orgeron could coach the
Kevin, help me. Is this true?
I'm not aware of that. And if it is true, then they should fire everyone at Arkansas in a decision-making capacity.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire Ed Orgeron to coach UAB.
Same.
Although it would be entertaining as heck if he were here in Birmingham. That ain't happening, but come on.
I might hire him at UAB, but I ain't hiring him in Arkansas.
No. Not to be the head coach. I might hire him to be defensive coordinator. Not defensive coordinator. He can't coordinate a defense. I might hire him to be the defensive line coach and recruiting coordinator. He'll go get me some players.
Yeah, I'd hire him and put him in charge of the parties when the crews come on campus.
He ain't running my program because I know some of the reasons he stopped running the LSU program at LSU's request. So, that's one of the things. Somebody suggested Auburn should hire Cadillac Williams, bring him back. I saw this in the media. I'm not going to name the person out of respect for his reputation, but come on, man. Do you know why Cadillac Williams was asked to leave Auburn? Come on.
Yeah.
That's why there's so much misinformation and disinformation flowing around coaching searches. It is absolutely amazing. That's why you have to read everything with 10 grains of salt.
Yeah.
When it comes to those subjects.
All right, this Lane Kiffin thing, I could go anywhere. Who knows? You may see a thing come out today. He's staying at Ole Miss.
Been settled at LSU, Barry?
Huh?
Has the money been settled at LSU as to what Kelly's going to get?
No.
I don't think. They're waiting to see.
I don't think so.
56 mil?
53.
Oh, excuse me, missed it
3 million. Are you surprised that James Franklin went to Virginia Tech, Kev?
No, because look, you have a much easier path to the playoff at Virginia Tech. You're playing a lot fewer top 10 and top 5 teams at Virginia Tech. And the one thing that James Franklin did not do, he did not do this at Vanderbilt either. If you go back and look at the games he won, a lot of them were soft non-conference games, the lesser teams in the SEC. He wasn't beating the Alabamas and Georgias at that time. And obviously that was his biggest issue at Penn State. He couldn't beat Ohio State, Michigan.
He recruits well, though.
He can recruit. He can build the program. But on a game as a game day decision maker, he's not elite, and that's being polite. Yeah. So he is in a good place. He can recruit that DC, Maryland, Virginia area very well established there. So to me it makes sense. Don't get back in the SEC, and I don't know that he turned down opportunities there, but there was some interest, I know. But no, I think that's a perfect spot for him. I think he'll probably do well there.
Do you know, Kevin, Eastern Illinois' record?
3-8. It's bad, I know. 3-8, is that right?
Yeah, you know their last game, who they played?
I did look at this, but I'm not going to remember it now. probably was ugly.
They played Lindenwood. I've never even heard of Lindenwood. Where is that?
Lindenwood. Actually, I believe in the state of Kansas.
They lost because 40, I looked them they up. They lost 42-12 to Lindenwood.
Yeah.
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 Well,
yeah. I knew Lindenwood was a D1 basketball program. Yeah.
What'd you say about Lindenwood? They hit the portal. Maybe they're loaded. They did lose to UT Martin. They've lost seven straight.
That's what Taz did, Coach.
Yeah. Does Alabama they probably turn the film on and look at that for about 5 minutes and say, turn that film off and get that Auburn film on.
They ain't practicing for Eastern Illinois this week. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And Auburn's been practicing for 3 weeks for Alabama.
Yeah.
So they ain't practicing for Mercer this week either.
Yeah.
So, let's be honest. It's one thing to play in FCS school. This is beyond embarrassing.
Yeah.
For Alabama to even. Now, I don't know. Maybe they had to cancel another one and pick this one up late. I don't know the backstory there. But Alabama should not be on the same football field as Eastern Illinois.
No.
That's embarrassing.
Lindenwood.
Hey, you two, you schedule
a win. Do you think they call Lindenwood and say, hey, can we get the film? They said, no, our manager was sick. We couldn't film the game. We don't have it. So, Kevin, tell everybody where they can find
you. His camera ran out of battery.
Yeah,
the guy's building the game with his iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Kevin. Tell everybody where
Alabama to be a big story.
They ain't gonna beat Alabama. Tell everybody where you can find you, Kevin.
Follow me on Twitter /X at Kevin Skarbinski. Keep up with my columns every week in the Birmingham News. You can find them on AL.com and my podcast. Go to YouTube, Kevin Skarbinski -Scarbo Knows. The latest episode, all about the Iron Bowl, came out yesterday.
Lindenwood is 5-6. They're 4-3 in the Ohio Valley. I didn't even know they were in the Ohio Valley. So there you go. All right, you listen to Tide 100. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
And the Cowboys cruise past the Raiders 33-16 to wrap up week 11 of the NFL, where Dak Prescott threw for 268 yards and 4 touchdowns, while George Pickens had 9 catches for 144 yards and a touchdown. In the NBA, the Bulls came ready to play in Denver.
The send-out accepted by Vooch in front to Herter. Rolling to his right. See you, Vooch. Topside open three. Bam!
You just heard on the Bulls radio network, they snapped their 5-game losing streak and beat the Nuggets 130-127. The 76ers came back to defeat the Clippers 110-108. James Harden ended with 28 points and has officially reached 28,000 career points. The Cavaliers topped the Bucks 118-106. The Heat held on 115-113 at home against the Knicks. And the Pistons have won 10 in a row after defeating the Pacers 127-112. On the ice, the Ducks topped the Mammoth 3-2 in overtime.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Northport has still been. It's our problem child this morning as we're dealing with an accident on Highway 69 southbound before Mid-Larry Road. This has been there for about an hour, hour and a half. And so traffic is being directed around the accident area at Gasline Road. In the meantime, we do have...
Doctor, if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremvaya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremvaya.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. The high 76. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. For tomorrow and Thursday, the weather unseasonably warm. Partially sunny both days. Highs between 78 and 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Phone lines are open, 205-342-9904. Had an email saying I thought the playoff games or postseason game was Auburn not going to be in the postseason. Didn't count against your eligibility. That's true. If the Auburn quarterback played in the Mercer game and the Alabama the game, that would be five. So they hold him out of Mercer. He plays Alabama. That's four. And he retains his eligibility for next year. And with NIL, these guys want to come back another year. Quarterback's going to make good money. So why wouldn't he sit out Mercer just to retain that year? He's not going pro, Chase, so they stays to make another NIL check. Why not? Tuscaloosa Toyota, go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You can schedule a service. You want to rent a Toyota, try it before you buy it. The holidays are coming, so you're going out of town for Thanksgiving. Leave your car in the garage and rent one of those great Toyotas out there. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com or swing by Skyland Boulevard. Find Justin. Tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all?
Fine. How are you, buddy?
Bear. I'm good. You know, Kiffin's ex-wife graduated from Florida.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that means anything or not. I just thought about it when y'all were talking about it.
Layla. Yeah. She did.
And I disagree with y'all about this playoff thing. If I was Alabama, I would hope I didn't go to the SEC championship game.
Well.
Because I believe if you go there and, like Kevin said, you get hammered. You're out.
No, you're not. Nobody. No, you're not. They are not. And Greg Sankey and them are not going to let them do that. Because then you diminish the – nobody's going to want to go to the championship game. You can't get there and then be out when you've got a league that's going to get five teams in. That's not going to – you can go over there and lose 50 to nothing. You're still going to be in. And you get a chance to win it, and be the SEC champion. Wouldn't that – well, I guess that doesn't guarantee you the bye, though. But – You better beat Auburn. Whatever happens from there, you take it and move on.
And I agree with Kevin on this. I'm scared to death of that Auburn game and being at night, and we're sheepish. We're acting like we're a bunch of sheep out there on the football field. And I don't see any way that we go down there and win that game because the desire to win is somehow evaporated.
You know what's going to happen, Tom, right? You're going to be down two.
Oh yeah, we're not going.
You're going to be on your last drive, and you're going to attempt the 35-yard field goal.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's going to happen, right?
Is that bad, Barry?
When he misses, Tom. I mean, he kicks it on the
go out that funnel and keep going. That's all I can tell
you. That poor
because
kid.
First and foremost, you jump on your teammate in front of all the world.
Bad look.
Like he did the long snapper when it wasn't that bad of a snap. Listen, he has no credibility with Alabama now. But if you ever thought you was going to get a chance to get any back, you better make that field goal. Because it's coming, partner.
It's not like he's Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady can yell at the snapper, but
right.
Connor Talty? Nah.
He's lucky to be here.
And I don't want to criticize the kid too much. Can you imagine being? Can you imagine? Hey, I'm doing a good job. I'm sorry. Can you imagine being his parents? I wouldn't. Would you go to the game if you were his parents, Tom?
No. I'd call you.
Well,
yeah, I would if he came out and had two black eyes.
Can you imagine how nervous you'll be there on that last drive and you're down two? You're just praying they score a touchdown so he doesn't have to run out there and kick the game winning.
You're exactly right.
Of course, he can make it and be a hero.
Well, if he made a game-winning field goal, it would pull him back to even.
God, he's that far down now.
He's in trouble. He's in trouble.
Yeah.
But I disagree with you. I think the committee is going to do exactly what they did every year. They start that last meeting they have. Who's undefeated? They go there. Who's got one loss? Then they start to decipher the rest of according to losses. You got three losses. I don't care where it came from. You ain't going.
That's not true, Tom. That's not true.
That's what I believe.
Well, if your third loss is in the SEC, in Atlanta, that's not going to bother you if you're Alabama.
If Georgia plays Alabama like they did Texas, ooh.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, though, I'd love to see a game between A&M and Georgia because I agree with whoever called in earlier and said A&M hadn't played anybody. Notre Dame, don't give me that. But Georgia would kill A&M, and I would love to see it.
You don't think winning at A&M is a good win?
Who won at A&M? A&M's undefeated.
I'm saying you don't think winning at Notre Dame is a good win?
It's a so-so win. It's not the best. It's not as good as Georgia.
Well, I didn't say that.
It's not good as winning as Georgia.
You said they didn't have a good win.
Who?
A&M.
Yeah, we're talking about degree of difficulty in wins. I'm saying a win at Georgia is better than a win at Notre Dame.
I'm not going to argue
it's
that.
It's a second-tier win.
Yeah, but they don't have any losses. They beat everybody on the schedule.
I'm getting confused.
You talking about A&M?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying that if Georgia and A&M play in Atlanta, Georgia will kill them.
I don't know about kill now. What would the line be in that game?
Georgia by 11?
No.
Yeah.
No. A&M's tough. At quarterback.
Did you say Georgia play Texas?
Yeah. I think Kirby's got his team peaking at the right time. We're not peaking.
They're the best team in the nation. They'll be
one monkey doesn't make a circus.
That's right.
We're going to do a Ryan Williams. He get too much too early?
Yeah. Well, it's turning out that he's not worth what we paid.
Yeah.
I bet Nike's saying the same thing.
But if he got in the portal, they'd all be slobbering over him.
Send him to Auburn. We want Cam, what's his name, Coleman.
Ooh.
God, that kid's good.
Does this Auburn game scare you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm scared to death. Every time we play Auburn, I'm scared. Basketball, baseball, it don't matter. I'm scared of Auburn.
But you can't go down there scared, Tom. You got to change the mindset.
Well, we'll find it. We'll get Sonny to tell us.
Does he know they're playing?
No, he didn't know it.
He didn't even know. I feel sorry for Sonny. I don't make fun of
him. Here's the latest.
He didn't know Hugh Freeze had been let go.
That was terrible for you to do that to him.
That was Dad did that. I didn't do that.
No, you did.
Let me tell you both of you. Now, listen to me, both of you. Let me tell you what's happened. He's lost his ballot.
You told us he goes to the right.
I'm telling him again. We got some other listeners besides you and Tom. He loses his ballot, but he loses it. And when he gets out of bed and walks, he goes right. So I said, if she puts the food on the left hand side of the table, you can't reach it because you're going right. What is the commodes on the left hand side?
Oh, my God.
You go right.
Y'all are laughing at my. Y'all are laughing at Sonny.
When we get him on, when we get him on Sunday. We get him on Friday, Tom. I'm going to ask him if he's still going right and talk to him about that. So you be sure.
Okay, coach. But hey, let me ask you this: it's a psychological thing, isn't it? I mean, every time he may be falling to the left, but it's psychological. He's going to automatically go to the right.
Does it?
You got to overplay his right side. Or running back.
Does it game being at night even build the height, Tom?
You know what? That game at 6:30. Oh my God! It's the worst scenario for Alabama. It could be.
Is Alabama going to be tight?
Mm-hmm.
They are. I'm afraid they are.
You're trying to stir up radio.
No, I'm being serious.
You're acting like just this year is tight. It's tight every year you go down there. Every year.
You ought to have been in my dressing room, Tom. When I played in basketball,
it's tight. They're tight. Like Gus Malzahn was loose as a goose. He was chomping that gum. And they were going fast in Alabama. I just don't. They got dynamic receivers and a good defense.
Hey, come on, just cool it. You're trying to stir it.
No, I'm really not. I just the mindset.
Oh yeah, come on, world.
Tom, you're agreeing with me.
Oh, yeah,
I want to be wrong. I want to change the mindset going down there.
Here's what needs to happen. Coach, you need to send a letter to Alabama right before Friday practice.
You need to let me talk to them.
Yeah, that would even better. That's better. But letter.
When I talk to my team, they walked out of there ready.
That letter you sent that Alabama basketball team from Auburn, that was masterful.
Well, one of the times I got down there with my best team, and I couldn't get them to play the first half. And when I got in the dressing room with them, I told you this story, I'll tell it again because Barry knows it. I got in the dressing room with them, and I jumped there, Fanny. I said, to top it all off, as I was walking off the court, Barkley winked at me. They tore the dressing room down getting outside.
This will be the most important pregame speech that Kalen DeBoer will ever give. Trying to get his team ready.
The most important game that he'll coach at Alabama.
What is Eastern Illinois? What's that team they're going to play?
I'll be quiet. Eastern Illinois, Lindenwood. Where's Lindenwood, Tom?
They're loaded.
I have no idea. I know where Linden is.
Tom, help me with this one, too. Why? And there may be a good reason, and you would be the one to know it.
You corn pone.
Why do you play Oklahoma as homecoming?
Yeah, why wouldn't we have done it a week later?
Yeah, why could homecoming be this weekend?
That's right. I said that when the schedule came out.
Because I think that motivates Oklahoma when you make them home.
You're talking to the Grand Marshal of the homecoming parade. You want to let me talk.
You were the Grand Marshal?
Yeah, of the homecoming parade I was. You didn't know that?
Yeah, 1979.
No, it wasn't 1970.
Okay.
In the 80s. I threw candy to everybody that was sitting in the convertible.
Tom, do you blame Lane Kiffin to let his family go over and look this week?
No, I don't. I'll tell you what. Listen, $150 million guaranteed for 10 years. Can you actually look at your wife and say, I'm not taking that?
Ex-wife.
Family,
yeah. So
Max comes up with some figures. Max comes up with some figures. Got to watch Max.
Okay, yeah. That may not be accurate, but it's a lot better than what he's getting. Okay.
There you go. All right, Tom.
Isn't
isn't that what men get up and go to work for every day so their family can be secure?
I mean,
get on Barry. Get on Barry. Barry's not, he says he thinks the Auburn game's going to be tough.
It is.
It is. You going down there, Tom?
No. No, I made my last trip down there. I mean, the last time I went, guess what? Brody got sacked 27
Brody?
Times.
Brody? Brody Crowell?
Yeah, Brody Crowell.
Yeah.
He was all right. That been playing.
All right, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Y'all take care.
Thank you.
All right, Chase, we're behind the break, aren't we? We are. All right, Dad, we'll go ahead and get to Bryant Bank, though. Tell me about Bryant Bank before we go to break.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. They'll know exactly how to help you. Open a personal or business account. Go by and tell them you heard on Inside the Locker Room. Bank online around the clock. And your money will be safe. Boy, is that important. So go by Bryant Bank, tell you heard Barry and I on Inside the Locker Room, and you want to open up a couple of accounts for you, not only for yourself, but for your ex-wife and for your kids. Yeah.
For Layla Kiffin. Chase, you live in Louisiana, don't you? What do you think is going to happen over there?
I could not tell you. I'm more...
Blake's in Louisiana. He thinks it's the back side of the world.
Yeah, you got some... That's another country. I saw the governor on TV yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. Not really. He's trying to get people to move from New York to Louisiana because of the mayor. You listen, Tide 100.9, who's worse, the new mayor or him? It's a tie. You listen, Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
From the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, we've got some trouble on the east part of town if you're traveling on 2059 on the westbound lanes at University. Watch out for this accident. Now, it's got traffic pretty thick there in the immediate area, very concentrated area. And also looking out at this one on Northport Freeway, still trying.
And up to $6,500 off select Nissan models only at Townsend Nissan. Lifetime warranty, free oil changes, and a pre-approval with no impact to your credit. TownsendNissan.com.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Get the Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa before your friends do.
On select models with approved credit while supplies last. Stock number L2417. Taxes and fees extra. See dealer for details.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Vector Security, Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. For more information, visit championslane.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Tuesday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by the voice of the Crimson Tide, Chris Stewart.
Yeah, drove the ball well, turned it over, pick six, 87 yards, something else we hadn't allowed is a long punt return, which put them in field goal range for their initial field goal. Fumble on a punt return hurt you. A missed field goal, short one. They make three, including one from 52. They force three turnovers. We have two interceptions in our hands and can't get them picked off. And look, defense was exceptional. So I'm not picking on anybody in any way, just stating fact of things that any one of those go your way and the result is different. But the reality is Oklahoma made enough plays to win. Alabama didn't.
I'll have more in a moment. Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide! If you missed last night's edition of Crimson Tide Rewind, catch it on demand on the Alabama Insider podcast, as well as a video replay on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. The high 76. For tonight, fair with a low at 59. For tomorrow and Thursday, the weather unseasonably warm. Partially sunny both days. Highs between 78 and 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. All right, let's go ahead. Kalen DeBoer met with the media yesterday. I think Kalen DeBoer was a little frustrated probably. He was fired up for that game, some of the turnovers and stuff, he did not like that. But here was the opening statement yesterday in preparation for the Eastern Illinois game and going back to the loss over the weekend with Oklahoma.
Good morning. Just obviously, just like I said the other night, disappointed in the outcome just from the game. And, I guess the approach I can already see is dialed in. Like I told you, I know the character of this football team, and this is not a time to sit still. This is a time to keep moving forward. And we see areas that we can continue to improve on, but that's what we have done all season long. We continue to push, continue to go back to work. And these guys, again, they've shown how resilient they are. And you can see the want to and the fight, getting down early in the game the other night, I think, and how we continued to compete is exactly what you see in the big picture of this season and what these guys are all made up of.
All right, there's a lot of talk about Ryan Williams fumbling the punt. I mean, Ryan Williams got to take it to the house, so you can't, when it doesn't work, you can't say, why do you have him back there? I mean, it's just, you're trying to put a guy back there to make a play. They did ask him why he had two punt returners back there. Here's what Coach had to say about that.
Start with Katie on the back left.
I think Saturday was the first time this year that y'all have used two players back in punt return. Just kind of, was that something y'all saw from Oklahoma that you wanted to try, or is it something they've been kind of building towards all year that it was something you wanted to try on special teams?
Well, their punter was a little erratic. He hit long ones and he did short ones. And so some of the short ones, what would happen is they would roll out and end up being longer kicks because you play for the long game. And so I thought, our guys did a good job of the fielding part. Obviously, we had a turnover, which was a big deal. And so, from a schematic standpoint, that was a lot of the reason for that. And so you saw some of the ones that went longer. Ryan got his hands on those. And obviously field position plays a little bit of a role in that, but there were some shorter ones too. And so, I felt like from a schematic standpoint, what we were doing made sense.
Your thoughts about that? I mean, you put a guy back there, you don't think he's going to fumble. So people criticize you then for putting him back. You're just trying to win the game.
Of course not. Yeah. He made a good answer there. If you take care of the short one, you take care of the long one.
Yeah.
Anything wrong with that at all.
Yeah, I agree. Thoughts on Wilcome Formby and Michael Carroll's play as of late? There's been a lot of talk about the offensive line, and here's what Coach had to say about that.
What they did together. Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job. I thought there was things where our execution was certainly improved. I thought Wilkin did a nice job getting off the ball in some areas. There's a goal line play that I really felt like he really had a low hat and, showed some things that he's continued to work on. And, Michael was out there competing. He's going to give everything he has. There's no doubt about it. He doesn't look like a freshman. And he's played a lot of snaps this year that are meaningful. And together, I think those guys had a good week of practice. And, you know, again, it wasn't perfect, things that they could have been better on, but there was a lot of success that they had together as well.
All right, then lastly, play the last clip, Chase, how the team will bounce back from losses like Oklahoma. Last year, they didn't ever really bounce back, to be quite honest with you. So they got to bounce back. They got everything right in front of them that they can still accomplish. But this Iron Bowl is going to be very critical. But I know Coach is not talking about the Iron Bowl now. But go ahead and play that clip.
Right side of that.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, and again, I got in the locker room, and it didn't surprise me, and I shared that with you, or you could feel what the hurt was, but also what the response would be. And the week of practice last week was phenomenal. And we can, again, I've shared with you guys many times how we can track that, how we can see it, how we can feel it, how we can, you know, understand what that looks like. And again, the competitiveness, the fight that those guys had, it wouldn't have been there at that level if it wouldn't have been invested in the early part of the week and the process that these guys go through. And that will continue to be the case. We have to use this week to continue to get better. And that is the priority. That's where our head needs to be. You know, and in order for us to continue to have the outcomes we want, we got to make it as simple as possible and focus on what we can control. And that's our mindset, our attitude, and then that leading to the effort and, you know, continually each and every day get better.
Thank you, Coach.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Any comment on all that?
No, I thought it was good. I think he's good. I think he's okay. You know, the guy doesn't fumble the ball, and they probably win. The coach didn't fumble the ball. The player did. So they got beaten a close one. Running game is not quite where they wanted, but you know they didn't quit. They did that. I don't see anything wrong with it. The Auburn game be a hard game.
Yeah. All right. We'll go ahead and take the break here. We'll get the vinegar tip. We also got Tony Holman. We always enjoy talking to Tony. You listen, Ty.
Friend of mine in Florence went to Lindenwood. Lindenwood is in the state of Missouri.
Oh, there we go.
The girls school.
Missouri, Chase.
Missouri.
You listen, Ty. 100.9, 1230 WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. As you move on the east side of town, you do want to watch out for this accident. It's on the westbound lanes of 2059 at University Boulevard. Still a couple of lanes down. Traffic has a backup to just shy of Keynes Mill Road. And it looks like we're also still dealing with this problem in Northport, Highway 69 southbound before Mid-Larry Road. Traffic is being diverted around the accident area. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Real, Cypress Supply, Banks & Company Hardware, Stephen Fights Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good.
Welcome back. Inside the locker, you know what that song means? Just a vinegar tip for this Tuesday. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Michael is the best. 205-752-8500. Give Michael a call for all of your insurance needs. What is the vinegar tip for this?
Well, yesterday I talked about getting those white socks clean, those dingy dishcloths clean by overnight soaking and put a cup of vinegar in there. If some of your garments have mildewed because you fiddle-dicking around and hadn't done anything at all, then you got to use some vinegar on them. And this is now you can scrub a paste of vinegar. You know, I've been talking about just pouring the vinegar on there, but you can scrub a paste of vinegar and baking soda on a ring around the collar of the shirt. If those goobers that you take care of, women, ladies, your husbands or your whatever boyfriends or whatever you got, if they got rings around their collars, ain't nothing worse than a ring around your collar. Then you can scrub it with a paste of vinegar and the baking soda, and that will get those shirts really good. And then after you do that, you put them in the washing machine. And that will clean that shirt up. And if you don't think it looks good, maybe somebody will think it looks good. So that's the thought for the day.
All right, that great tip, Chase. They're getting better and better. It's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. Michael's a big Mississippi State Bulldog. He's having a tough year. All right,
Mayor's stirring up that Auburn game.
You think I'm being honest? What have I said that's not true?
He's stirring that. Is the field goal kicker in Alabama that bad?
Tony, answer that for him.
He ain't good. You can't. I mean, I've never seen a guy so inconsistent. Anything past 40 yards, and now he's missing things inside. But you can't blame the holder, you know. Yeah, it throws off your timing, no doubt about that. But for him to yell at the holder coming off the field, not the holder, the snapper, we would have had words. We would have had words in the locker room. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, Coach. So I get this right. This ain't apple cider vinegar. It's a straight vinegar, white vinegar.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just checking. Guys, the reason I called, two reasons really. Have y'all heard that Steve Sarkisian may have a mutual parting this year with Texas?
I mean, I've seen a rumor about him possibly going to the NFL.
Well, I heard the same thing. So guys, if this happens, let's pretend Texas opens up, along with if Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss. Do y'all think, we know Texas, we know the answer to Texas. Do y'all think Ole Miss currently is a better job than Auburn?
Currently?
Yes.
Currently.
I agree.
Let me finish it, though. Auburn's got more money. Auburn's willing to spend more money than Ole Miss. They got more.
They're also willing to meddle.
Right. That's right. So where does that put Auburn in the pecking order of, let's say, John Summerall is offered by Ole Miss? You know, where does that put Auburn in that list of tiers that you know, of college jobs?
Well,
I don't think you want to follow Lane Kiffin.
He coached at Troy, so he's got an Alabama connection. Not that they go recruit him by Alabama particularly, but he's leaning a little bit towards an Alabama school.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Anyway, guys, tell me a little bit about Illinois basketball game tomorrow. What do y'all know about them?
I don't know
anything about Illinois. I know their coach worked with Frank Martin. They're going to be tough. Be hard nosed, physical, but as far as their personnel and all that, I hadn't seen them. But I know if they play like their coach, then they're going to be hard nosed and tough. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, Coach Anderson, did you get a chance to watch Auburn and Houston?
I did not. I'm sorry. I forgot it. That's my fault. I only caught the second half.
Well, Barry, if you watched it, what do you think of Houston? Do you think they're the number one, two team in the country?
I mean, it's hard to say at this point. I don't think they're better than Purdue.
I don't think there is one.
I think Purdue.
I don't either.
Purdue's about as good as I've seen, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, it was just, you know, me watching both. I was surprised that Houston couldn't put Auburn away a little bit but then again, Auburn may be better than I thought. But anyway,
they're not. Well, I actually feel good about that. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me. They're going to be between 12 and 16 in the standings.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, let me ask y'all this. If and it's the same thing Kevin said, and I mentioned this earlier yesterday on a phone conversation. If Alabama does beat Auburn and we do go and let's say A&M beats us 14, what does that do to Alabama?
Yeah.
What was the question? I missed it.
If we go to the SEC championship game, if we beat Auburn, let's say we beat Auburn by a field goal, which let's better put that as safety. And we go to the SEC title game and get beat by 14, 17 points with three losses, what does that do to our chances getting in the playoffs?
We're in the playoffs. We beat Auburn. That's over. They're not going to penalize you for losing the SEC championship game. Why have it if you're going to get penalized for going?
Well, everybody last year said that at SMU lost to Clemson, they were out.
Yeah, but...
If SMU were to, you know, so if you get to the
Atlanta, you're one of the top two teams in the SEC. You're not going to go to the playoff. I mean, they'd have to cancel the game, the playoff. I mean, the SEC championship. If you take the guy that's runner up in the SEC and don't let him make the playoff,
I agree with y'all. I do. You just don't know when you put it in the hands of a bunch of folks, you know, people that have.
They're not
going
to penalize you for making it to that game. That game can only help you.
Well, guys, we should see. What is your opinion? And I know we're living in weird times right now, but do y'all agree with the quarterback decision? Because to me, the thing going on in Auburn with the kids sitting out for Mercer, that tells me that either him, Ashton or whatever his name is, and or Deuce Knight's going to transfer. Because if you don't know who the coach is going to be, how do you know they're going to want him to be the quarterback?
Yeah, but you still, as the kid, you want to retain the year. I mean, you get another year of NIL money. You're not going to the NFL, so and you do it for the program to give that he's an option. You know, if you let him play, so there's no, you're not going to burn a whole year of eligibility to play Mercer. Even if you lost the game, it don't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, so because you're not going to a bowl anyway. So,
what I'm saying is, Barry, does Ashton Daniels play for Auburn next year or Deuce Knight?
Well, that would be the new coach's
decision.
I think
both of them stay.
Yeah, that would
right.
be.
Right. That's my point. That, yeah. They act like he's doing it because he wants to come and return to Auburn.
I don't know about that.
That's the gist I got out of that. Anyway, well, all right, guys, y'all have a good day.
Thank you. All right, we'll go ahead and take this last break, and then we'll wrap up the show. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. As you move on the east side of town, you do want to watch out for this accident. It's on the westbound lanes of 2059 at University Boulevard. Still a couple of lanes down. Traffic has a backup to just shy of Keens Mill Road. And it looks like we're also still dealing with this problem.
Our sweet trolley candy. It's a flavor collision you've got to try. But hurry, it's only here for a limited time. Mountain Dew Trolley. Do the dew, do the worm.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Match with the candidates you're looking for, making your hiring simple. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Again, that's Indeed.com/credit.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. The high 76. For tonight, fair with a low at 59. For
For tomorrow and Thursday, the weather unseasonably warm, partially sunny both days, highs between 78 and 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Back to Inside the Locker Room. We appreciate all the calls, Kevin Skarbinski. Good conversation. Thanks, Chase, for having that Coach DeBoer press conference there. Guys, if Alabama makes it to Atlanta, they're going to the playoff. You can forget that. So don't even overthink it. If they beat Auburn, they're in the playoff. You lose to Auburn, you're out, in my opinion. You need precision, power, performance. Brian Harden Construction has been delivering that top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. Give them a call today. They're carrying on the tradition that Brian started over there. And 205-759-1337. And our prayers still go out to all the people over at Brian Harden Construction. That's it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.